Hey, Bizarre.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you, brother?
You're online.
I'm online. All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. Elder G. Bizarre coming to you out of Warren, Ohio, going on down there to Atlanta, Georgia on Blog Talk Radio. Derek Oliver's the host, and he's hosting me, and I'm going to let you know this is Watchman on the Wall End Time Radio Ministry, preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel until he comes back again. I want to let you know that he is on his way back. Amen. He is on his way back. He is coming back just like he said he would. I believe it. I accept it. I honor it. I respect it. And I'm preparing myself to meet him in the air one day. Hallelujah. Praise our God. He is wonderful. And you ought to be praising the Lord this morning, this evening, this afternoon. He woke you up this morning in your right mind, able to have the activities of your limbs and tell somebody about Jesus Christ today. Amen. Tell him he's coming back. Tell him he died 2,000 years ago. Good God Almighty. And the blood has never lost its power. And the Lord is saving souls every day. Every day, somebody, somewhere on this planet, 25,000 miles in diameter and spinning at 17.4 miles a second. We have 24 hours in the day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year, 12 months equals a year, and the world is still turning and God is still saving. Although it's in bad condition, the world is in bad condition, I'm telling you today, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because we are living at the foot. We're living at the foot of the close of the church age. We're in the church of Laodicea, the Laodicean church. Amen. Which represents that falling away from the cross. My God, falling away from the cross. The cross is the only way that a man can receive eternal salvation. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we know as being as Bible scholars, for those that are not Bible scholars, amen, in the Old Testament, it was used animal's blood, sheep, turtle doves, heifers, all kinds of clean animals that was used for blood sacrifice in the Old Testament. That was good all the way up until the ultimate came. The unique one came. The one out of the line out of the tribe of Judah and the offspring of David. Until he came, man didn't have no way to escape the wrath of God. And the only thing that the animal blood done was to cover sins, to cover man's sin until the sin barrier get here. Woo, and it took him 4,000 years. 4,000 years. Jesus Christ came all the way down from the portals of glory, stopped down there in the Garden of Eden, and told Adam and Eve, y'all done messed up. Y'all done messed up. You did not obey what I told you to do. I told you not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I told you the day you eat it thereof, you are going to die. Not a physical death, spiritual death. In other words, the Lord was telling them, you are going to be cut off from me. You are going to be on your own. And now your father is going to be, the devil is going to be your father. You are going to be under his influence. But by you being under his influence, I'm going to bring the human race back. Not all of human race. I'm going to get somebody. You know, today many people don't want to be saved. They don't want to be saved for nothing. They have one foot in hell and one on a banana peel and still don't want to get saved. They don't want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And God made a plan before the foundations of the world that he would redeem man. He knew that man was going to fall. He knew man was going to mess up. But he gave him an opportunity to make a choice. You understand what I'm saying? To make a choice. Before we get into the lesson this evening, I want you to bow your heads in prayer. In the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord God Almighty, the one that was, the one that is, and the one to come. We thank you for your precious son, Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, gave his life up that we may have a life. And through him, no man can reach God but through Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy or girl can get to the Father except to come by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You ought to try him, buddy. I'm telling you. That man is awesome. Jesus Christ is awesome. He's awesome in my life. He's the love of my life. He's my desire. He's my hope. He's my glory. He's my all in all. I don't want nobody but him. But if I got him, I want to share him with anybody I meet, anybody I talk to, anybody that want to listen to what God has done for me. And he has done so much for me. I was thinking about writing the book, but I had to throw the pen away and all the paper because I ain't got enough paper. I ain't got enough time to write all what he done for me in my life. And I'll tell you one thing. If you want to have a rich life, you want to have a happy life, you want to have a joyful life, you want to have an eternal life, Jesus Christ is the answer. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, as we get into the lesson. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Elder Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm talking all the way down into Atlanta, Georgia. I was just down there a few days ago. We ran a revival. Amen. And God bless. God bless. People got a lot of understanding and a lot of wisdom from the word of God. Not from me. He didn't get it from me. God gave it to me to give to you. But I can't think up like this. I can't think like God thinks. Amen. God's highest and highest, highest. And he's lower than the lowest valley. And he can save you. I want to let you know that. And I want to let you know one thing else. Get ready. Get ready to meet Jesus Christ. For he is on his way. On his way. We are at the end of a last generation. This is the last generation that I will see up on this earth. And a lot of people say, well, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Y'all been talking about this stuff for long, man. That's going to sound like a broken record. As I told you before, I'd rather have a broken record than no record of all. I might repeat things through the years. I have repeated over and over how the Lord is going to come back to this planet, how the Lord is going to save those that want to be saved, how the Lord is getting ready, amen, to let the world know who he is. Because let me tell you, the world has rejected Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. I said the world has rejected Jesus Christ. America found on the biblical principles of God's word, founded on it. Old and New Testament. The Jews was the cause of America being what America is today. A lot of people don't agree with it, but it's right anyhow. Because the Jews is God's chosen people. And Jews came over here during the 1492, as they say, Columbus discovered America, but really, Columbus didn't discover America. Let me tell you that. God brought him here. And I know we had a whole lot of problems, Revolutionary War, Civil War, war, slavery, and all, but that's all in building a country. But we was built on the basic principles, the basic principles of God's word, the Holy Bible, the book of the day, the book of yesterday, the book of all books. No other book can outdo the Bible because it's spoken out of God's mouth through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak what thus says the Lord God Almighty. And let me tell you, America is in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble with everything that you see going on. We're in trouble. We're in trouble with our youth. We're in trouble with abortion. We're in trouble with gays. We're in trouble with lesbianism. We're in trouble with alcoholism. We're in trouble with gambling. We're in trouble with sex pornography. We're in trouble with every sin that you can name. And we, not only America, but the whole world has sinned against a holy God. And God is not no small, amen, panty waist. He sits on the throne. He's not nobody that can't see and can't walk, can't talk. He's almighty, and he got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And when he speaks, you got to move. And I got to move tonight to let you know, amen. Y'all, whoever's out there hear me, I'm saying this in love. I'm not saying this in anger. I'm not saying it in madness. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not partiality. I don't have respect for person. In other words, I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from, what color your skin. I don't care about that. I want to know, have you been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to be taken out from this earth? Because the earth has a few more days. Oh, my God. It might be a few more hours. It might be just a little bit, a few more years, a few more months. I don't know, but let me tell you what's going on today is out of control. It's out of control. Our churches is out of control. Our preachers are out of control. Our members are out of control. People are not enthused about the return of Jesus Christ. They're not enthused. Man, let me tell you, if America was enthused or anywhere else in the country, if there was enthused, people would be going to church packed, going to find out where I'm going to, who is coming back. I'll be going to church to find out who is Jesus Christ. I'll be going to church to hear the word of God, not for gambling again, not to show my faith, but I'll be going to church to hear the word of God spoken straight from the Bible and not no makeup. I ain't making up nothing today. I ain't never made up anything. And I'm going to tell you right now, America is in trouble. The White House has become an outhouse. And the outhouse don't want nothing to do with the White House. Because what the White House is doing is filthy, low down, dirty, cutthroat senators, cutthroat presidents. The politician world is confused. The White House done put God out of the White House and threw it in the outhouse. In other words, threw it in the back seat. Don't want nothing to do with God. Don't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, the one that suffered and died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. Other countries is that some of them don't believe in God, but America is known as a Christian nation. And a lot of people have said that America is not a Christian nation anymore. Well, let me tell you, I don't care if ain't up but one Christian on the face of the earth right now in America. America is still a Christian nation because let me tell you, woo! One person could put 10,000 to flight, and two could put 20,000 to flight. America is still a Christian nation. It's just what happened is people just done turned their back on the principles and the burial and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't want to repent of their sins. They don't want to turn from their wicked ways. They don't want to praise God. They want to praise everything else but God. And when you praise everything else but God, the country will go down. It'll go down. It has come so polluted, you can't even walk down the streets in the broad daylight unless somebody shoots you, unless somebody want to club you, or somebody want to start a fight. The cities are full of prostitution and pornography. And young women and young men are proselyting themselves, and men are going with men and women with women, and the marriage vows are being broken every day, and people don't even want to get married no more. They're living together. They're not even training the children the principles of God's word. They're giving them cell phones and giving them all kinds of different machinery and technology, and are brainwashing our children. America, where are you? Amen. We don't lift up the name of Jesus. That's why. We don't lift up the name of Jesus no more. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. The preachers are not lifting up the name of Jesus anymore. Jesus Christ is the key to everything. He's the answer to everything. He's the only man that suffered and died on the cross, on a cruel cross for my sin. And you ask me, how much do God love the world? He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him and trust him and rely on him and depend upon shall never perish and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb before you ever leave this planet. Amen. When the rapture come and the Lord blow the trumpet, if you haven't been born again, you will be left here in your tracks. And you will face the greatest demonic man that ever hit this earth. And that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is here on this planet, my brothers, my sisters. You're not going to hear this too much in church. Preachers are not preaching what they're supposed to preach. Oh, yes. Number one is Jesus Christ saved. Sanctify your soul and turn you from your wicked ways that you could become a child of God. When you become a child of God and you are supposed to witness, you are supposed to tell somebody, whoever they are, and tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and there is no other name given under heaven where men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to lift him up because he already been lifted up on Calvary's mountain. They lifted him up between heaven and earth. And now it's our turn to lift him up. Lift him up and call out his name and let the devils tremble until their knees knock together because the devil in the planet right now, he is roaming to and fro in the earth, destroying, killing, and murdering, and destroying anything that gets in his way. And if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ in your soul, if your soul has not been washed and made white in the blood of Christ, and you are not ashamed to speak his name anywhere you go, anytime you see, hey, that Jesus' name should be spoken, it should be spoken not just in the house of God, but it should be spoken on everyday basis. Because let me tell you, in him I move and have my beings. We're living in 2021, August. 2021, and pretty soon this year will be over, and still yet we are still mumbling and jumbling and trying to figure out what's going on. And some say this is going to happen, and some says that this is going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but Jesus said, when you see all these signs, when you see all these wonders, when you see all these tragedies, when he said, look up for your redemption's door now. He said, when I come, I'm coming as a twinkling of an eye. And when he comes, the first phase is the rapture. I want to get that to you. The first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the rapture. And the rapture is soon to happen. Oh, I see demons laughing. You're telling me, Bazard, you've been doing this too long. You don't have a nervous breakdown. Yeah, you need to go to a mental ward. You've been talking this thing too long. The devil's telling our generation now we got a long time yet. We got about 30 years left. We got about 10 years left. We got about 5 years left. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is going to come when the least think he's coming. And now we in the verge of him coming at any minute, any second, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the body of Christ. You hear what I said? I said the body of Christ. The body of Christ is composed of every nationality, every tongue, every language, every ethnic background. It's consisted of all nationalities and color of skin because there's no such thing as a white heaven. There's no such thing as a black heaven. There's no such thing as a Puerto Rican heaven. There's no such thing as a Jewish heaven. Heaven's going to be composed of all born again, blood-washed saints of God that's going to be disappearing from the planet of the earth at any day. I'm looking for him tonight. I don't know. I'm just telling. Are you looking for him tonight? Are you really looking for him tonight? Are you living so you know, not just living, but have you been born again? You know you've been born again. Nobody can tell you haven't been born again. Nobody can tell you that you don't have the love of God in your heart and that you love everybody. You ain't coming out with no racial slurs and you ain't prejudiced and you got to get that stuff out of you. Too many Christians going around here with a racial problem. Woo, and you shouldn't be going around with a racial problem. The Pharisees had a racial problem. And the racial problem was they didn't have no dealing with the Samaritan women. The Samaritans was nothing but they were babies born between Assyrians and Jews. And so they was called outcasts. But Jesus broke that down when he met the Samaritan woman at the well. She was a prostitute. And Jesus stood there and sat on the well, and he's come to get some water. Because God Almighty, and Jesus said, give me a drink. He said, well, we don't have no dealing with Jews, and Jews don't have no dealing with the Samaritans. We are set apart. Racial slurs, black and white, racial slurs. Jews and Gentile, racial slurs. God is going to blot out all this racial discrimination when he comes back again. When he comes back again, he's going to straighten it out and let you know all people belong to me. All those that haven't been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you have not been born again, saved and sanctified, which means, sanctification means to be set apart from sin. You are, your soul, your spirit is sinless. You hear what I said? You got a sinless soul because of the blood of Christ. Because the blood of Christ is the only thing that's able to make you whiter than snow and wash you, and the love of God comes in your heart. And when the love of God comes in your heart, guess what? You love everybody. Church folks, y'all hear me? Deacons, you hear me? Preachers, you hear me? God loves everybody. He don't have no big eyes and no little ewes. And God is not going to pat you on the back just because you say that you've been born again. You better be born again, because when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to separate the saved from the unsaved. You hear what I said? If you saved, you're in the rapture. If you're not saved, you stay here. And when you stay here, you're going to have to face the ultimate demonic, demon, beastly animal, which is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to come after, listen to what I'm saying, he will come after the rapture. Not before the rapture, after the rapture. And nowhere in the Bible, nowhere from Genesis to Revelation, where I can see that the church will go through the rapture. It's impossible. God don't break his promise. We are not the children of wrath. We're not the children of judgment. We already been judged. We've been judged at the cross. We've been saved at the cross. Ooh, hallelujah. We've been saved by blood shedding on Jesus Christ. He got up from the grave on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth. And you tell me that he gonna have a problem with saving little old me? If you want to be saved, if you want to be sanctified, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to love people that you done never loved before, you gonna have to meet Jesus Christ, because he got all the love that a man needs. He got divine love. He got unconditional love. He got the love that's long-suffering. He got the love that's forgiving. He got the love that covers a multitude of sins. And I don't care how you look or how you talk or how you walk, God loves everybody. How much do God love me? I'll show you how much God loves me. How much? If you were the only person on the planet back there in 33 A.D., if you were the only person on the earth back then, 30 days, when Jesus Christ was crucified, God Almighty still would have came down here if you were the only person on the earth to save you from hell. He would have came all the way down died on the cross, went in the grave, and came up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth just to save you. That's how much he loved you. One person on this earth, Christ still would have came. For God so loved the world, he loved every individual person on the planet. Love him. But he don't love sin. Can't stand sin. Sin is from Satan. Sin is from Lucifer. Sin is from the old dragons. Sin is what messed the human race up. And Christ loved his own race that he created out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. We're made out of his likeness, not of his image. And he said, I'm going to build me a church, and I'm going to redeem this church by my blood. And if there was only one person on this planet out of 7.1 billion that's on the planet right now, Jesus still would have came and died on the cross to redeem you from hell back to main reason he came, to redeem you from hell, because he knows sin is going to hell. All sin is going to hell. And if you living in sin, shaped in iniquity, then my mother conceived me. I can't save myself. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't do nothing to make it benefit for me to go to heaven through my own ingenuity, all my ideologies, all my ego, all my worshiping, and all my rituals, and all my, you name it. There's no way. Somebody had to die. And Christ was the ultimate sacrifice that God had, because Jesus Christ is God Almighty. All by himself. Don't need nobody else. Don't need the welfare department. Don't need the banking industry. Don't need no nothing. Nothing. He is self-existent that came from nowhere, because he's everywhere. And since he's everywhere, there was nowhere for him to come. And he made the whole world and everything in it. And he ruled. And the devil thinks he's ruling. He ain't ruling nothing. The only thing he's ruling is ruling people who let their lives be damned by Satan, because he's a liar and the truth is not in him. He wants to defame God's creation. He wants to kill every human being up on this planet. He wants to rule the world. He wants to call people to lose their mind and go crazy. He wants to break up the marriages. He wants to do everything. He wants to each nationality to wipe out each other. He wants to drop bombs on the world and destroy everybody on this planet. And people don't understand. God ain't never, just go down and kill folks. God don't kill nobody. He just tell you to lay down. And when he say lay down, you got to go. God don't rob banks. God don't rape people. Jesus Christ ain't never raped nobody. He never have, never will. And that's not in him, because he's God Almighty and he's a holy God. He can't stand iniquity and he can't look upon iniquity. And he's angry at the wicked every day. And if it was left up to God without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God Almighty would have wiped us out a long time ago. But he made himself in the likeness of a man and came down here in the flesh and walked among men and showed men that he could, what he could do. He wasn't showing off. He was just letting you know, I am the I am of the I ams. Before I am was ever, name, I was, I will be, and I will never cease to be. And he suffered so that you wouldn't have to burn in hell. And my friends, listen to me. I'm serious. I'm serious to the bottom of my heart. There is a hell. There is a hell. There's a place where the wicked go. There's a place where the ungenerated people go. There's a place where people who have not been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ will go. I don't care how good you are, how sweet you are, how black you are. I don't care nothing about your denominationalism. I don't care nothing about your occultism. I don't care nothing about how much education you have had or what you're going to get. I don't care nothing about you getting married. I don't care nothing about you trying to build a house. I'm not caring about that. That's a bunch of junk. What you need to be caring about and what I care about is your soul. Your soul is the only thing you have. You don't have nothing else that has feelings and pain and happiness and joy. And let me tell you, if you go to hell, there ain't going to be no joy. And when Christ brought you joy, when he suffered and died on the cross, it brought joy to my heart to know that he can live inside of me. He can live inside of me through the Holy Spirit. But without that blood shedding, without the crown of thorns on his head, without the nails being driven through his hand, without the pierced side, and without the nail being driven through his feet. Oh, my God, without him dropping his head between the locks of his shoulder and giving up the ghost and went down into hell and preached to those in prison and told him, I come to deliver the Old Testament saints and bring them out of paradise and bring them in the presence of God, because the blood of lambs and turtle doves didn't take away sin. Oh, hallelujah. It didn't take away sins. It covered sin. And God needed somebody to go down and take away sin, destroy sin, eliminate sin, and deplete sin. And the only thing could do that was his precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And he did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for my mama, my daddy, my sister. He did it for my enemies. He did it because he knew hell is no place where God wants to put his own human race. He don't want nobody to go to hell. That's why he came down here and paid what? He paid the price. Oh, look here. The price is right. You know the TV series that comes on, The Price is Right. Good God Almighty, you ought to see how the people react when they say, come on down. They be jumping and shouting and lifting up their hands and running and stumbling to get to the stand so they can make a bid on the product. They be jumping up and down. They be saying, shouting and shouting. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ came all the way down through the cosmos, through the stratosphere, through the autosphere. He came all the way down to a lonely planet where there was darkness and tragedy and killing and murdering and sin everywhere. I mean, he came all the way down, born in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Good God Almighty. Yeah. Came down through 42 generations. Came all the way down from Seth, because when Seth was born, Cain had killed Abel. And Abel was supposed to be the promised one that would bring him all the way down. But by Abel being killed, God raised up another child, which was named Seth. And Seth came on down. And when he rolled on down, he came through Jared. He came through Enoch. He came through Lamech. He came through Methuselah. He came all down to Noah, came all down to Shem, and Shem begot Abraham. Abraham brought it on down to the 12 tribes, and out of the 12 tribes, there was one tribe called Judah, and he said, out of Judah shall come a lion. Woo, hallelujah. He came all the way down, I said. He come all the way down until he got down there to about 4 B.C. 4 B.C., there was a woman they called Mary. She was a virgin. She was in house to Joseph. They had not gotten married yet. And God said, now is the fullness of time come. I got to go down. Oh, yes, he did. I got to go down and redeem my creation. I got to go down and redeem mankind. And mankind didn't have no idea what was going on in heaven. Yeah. And by what was going on in heaven, God was planning to redeem the human race. I thank God for his love that he had for me. I was a sinner. I was lost and undone. I was wicked. But he still loved me anyhow. I was no good. But he saved me anyhow. I was out doing my own thing, but he still loved me anyhow. Yeah, I should have been dead and gone years ago, but he let me live a little while longer. And by him letting me live, I want to tell somebody they can live. Yeah, they can live through Jesus Christ. I want to tell everybody, try Jesus. Try Jesus. I don't care what you done done. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. That's how much he's willing to sacrifice. And God himself became human. You hear what I said? And God gave his own name to his own self, Jesus, which means Savior, Christ, which means anointed. And divinity met humanity. And a child was born. And Mary said, I don't understand this. I can't figure it out. And it's got me puzzled. I'm a virgin. I ain't never touched a man. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do now that I'm pregnant with a child. And no man has ever fondled me. No man ever laid down with me. And Joseph was in house to marry Mary. And Mary was troubled that night, but God himself sent down an angel. Gabriel said, hey, Mary, don't weep and don't you moan and don't cry and don't worry. But you're going to bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from sin. And Mary said, well, I feel better now, and I'm going to go ahead and have this child. Good God Almighty. And I know abortion was in them days, but I thank God. Mary wasn't on abortion. She said, I want to have this baby because this baby is a unique baby. This baby is not an ordinary baby. And Isaiah said, a child shall be born and a son shall be begun, showing that he's going to be human and that he's going to come out of eternity. Good God Almighty. I know you know what I'm talking about. He said, when a son is given, that means he already was pre-existing. And when he was given, that means he never was born. God was never born. God was never created. God was self-existent, but he became a child. Listen to me what I'm saying. He became a child. He was born a baby, and they wrapped him in death clothes and put him in a horse trough. And heaven began to shout and rain. And the wise men came all the way from the east because they had heard, they had read about a king being born. And they got on their camels and they left China. They left the east and came over to the west. When they left, they rolled all the way down across the continent on camels, and they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They say, well, when we get there, we see this child, we're going to present him with these gifts, gifts that no other child has ever received in human history or in divine history. And when they saw the king, baby Jesus, laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Lord came to the shepherd boys in the field and told them, go on down there in Bethlehem or Judea and you'll find a child was born. And the shepherd got up and they ran down to see this child. Baby Jesus. Woo! Grew up as a child, grew up as a teenager, grew up to a full grown man, stayed here, walked here, healed here, cast out devils here, 33 years and one half. He was on the face of the earth. God himself in the human form, flesh and blood, had a blood system, had a heart, had a liver, had a pancreas, had everything in the anatomy of a human being, a man. He was a solid man. He was all man. There was no wickedness in him, no gall in his mouth, perfect, perfect, sinless, Only man that was ever born, God man, born sinless. Any other man, human in the human race, were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the question was asked, if Mary was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, how could God bring a sinless child into the world? Well, if you know anything about DNA, if you know anything about chromosomes, if you know anything about the origin of life, you got to go and talk to God about it. Because God will tell you this. He said, man is the carrier of the sin tree. It was man that disobeyed God. The woman was deceived, but the man wasn't. And Adam said, well, if Eve done ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, he said, I know what's going to happen if I eat it. If I eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, the whole human race is going to fall. The whole human race will be cut off. And since Adam was the head of the human family, he was the head of all the human race. We all came from Adam. We all came down to generation after generation after generation. And so Adam was the cause of man falling. And when man fell, Adam picked up the sin trait. In the semen of a man, the sperm of a man, there's a sin trait through Adam. And there's never been a man born without sin through the Adam race. So every man that was born is born in sin. Well, how in the world did Jesus was born and born without sin? Well, the woman is the prize of Jesus Christ, because the woman's ovary, the eggs of a woman's ovary, is sinless. Do you hear what I said? I said the ovary, the egg of the woman, is a sinless egg. And since God impregnated himself into Mary, he brought a blood system with him. Woo! Because God Almighty. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? He brought a sinless blood system. When the Holy Ghost burned into Mary's womb, a divine relationship. The egg was impregnated with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is God Almighty, because he's God the Father, he's God the Son, he's God the Holy Ghost, all three are one. And when Jesus stayed in Mary's womb for 9 months, he was a sinless baby, because God is sinless. God cannot commit sin. God didn't do no sin. And since Mary's eggs were sinless, they brought forth a sinless son, a sinless baby. And he grew up sinless. He grew up perfect. He grew up as a young man, but yet still he was God. And since he was God, he had a powerful blood system. Yes, he did. His blood, his blood was so powerful that changed Apostle Paul. His blood was so powerful, it could heal the sick and raise the dead. His blood was so powerful, that it caused a dumb man to see, because all the power is in the blood. And since Jesus had a sinless blood system, and since Mary had a sinless ovary and brought forth a sinless son called the Son of God, God in the flesh. And since he was God in the flesh, he was capable enough of dying for sin. And by him dying for sin, he knew no sin. He committed no sin. He couldn't sin. And yet still he became a sin offering for the sins of the world. Woo! That's powerful. He became a sin offering. And that sin offering says that it is possible for Christ to die for the sins of the world. It is possible that he died and rose again. It is possible that that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross was a blood system straight from divine God of heaven, Elohim, and Jesus Christ was God, is God, never ceased to be God, never was thought of. It was God himself that made preservation to bring salvation to every soul up on the planet, every soul, the liar, the backbiter. He died for the black. He died for the white. He died for the Chinese. He died for the Jew. He died for every human being on the planet, and the sins of the world were laid on him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And to tell me there was so much sin, there was not a human being that could bench press the sins of the world. The only one that was able to bench press, ooh, hallelujah, quadrillion tons of sin was laid on him. I mighty know, sin from Adam, sin mauled down through 42 generations, sin from Israel, sin from the Gentiles, sin from kingdoms and rulers and empires, sin from children, sin everywhere. Sin was laid on him, and by being laid on him, it smashed him, it bruised him, it caused him to have hemorrhages and inside of his body, where it was so much pressure that it busted his blood vessels, and he sweated blood coming up out of the pores of his skin, and it got so bad that he said, "Father, Father, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And he went back and prayed again, "Father, if there's another way that I can go around this, can I take the opportunity?" Yeah. In other words, Jesus was saying, if I could find another avenue to go around the cross, if I could find another avenue to not let them nails be driven through my wrist, and if I could find another avenue, instead of letting them give me water, they gave me vinegar and old sour wine, and I refused it. If there's another avenue, can I go down the left wing of St. Boulevard? Can I go down another way to avoid the cross? And then he went back the third time and said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And you know, Jesus said, "I got power enough to lay down my life, power enough to pick it up again. And I received it of my Father." And he said, "I'm going on anyhow. I'm going on anyhow, because if I don't go, good God, if I don't go, Adam will never reach heaven. If I don't go, Abraham will never make it to heaven. If I don't go, David won't make it. If I don't go, Solomon won't make it. If I don't go, Noah won't make it. I don't go and pay the penalty for sin. And the wages of sin is death. And since I paid the penalty of sin, it called to bring death upon me. And this death wasn't a spiritual death. It was a physical death. And this physical death made a way that I can pay the penalty for sin. And if he didn't go, Bazard would go to hell. If he didn't go, you would go to hell. If Jesus wouldn't have went to Calvary's cross. You listen to me what I'm saying. The whole creation, the whole human race will go to hell because there was no blood shed. And since Jesus Christ shed his blood, the whole human race got an opportunity, got a glorious opportunity. The drug head has an opportunity. The whore has an opportunity. The homosexual have an opportunity. The homo the lesbianism has an opportunity, the sodomites has an opportunity, the incest and child pornography, they have an opportunity to come to Jesus and lay that sin on him and let him pay for it, that they could have eternal life. But they got to repent. They got to turn from it. They got to want to turn from it. Jesus Christ made a way for everybody to go to heaven. He made a way. He made a way. A no way that no other man could do but God. And God did it through his son. He did it through the human race. And Mary, the woman that had a sinless ovary, she had a sinless egg. And God spurned the Holy Ghost and overshadowed Mary, that she brought forth a son, a capital S-O-N. And that son of God got up from the grave on his own power. He didn't have to call the construction company. He didn't have to call the paraplegic. He didn't have to call the paramedics. He didn't have to call the hospital. He didn't have to call no kind of nuclear weapon to blow the grave open. He didn't have to call nobody. He got up on his own power for you and I, that I wouldn't have to die and go to hell and burn ever in a lake of fire. Every time a sinner dies, God's heart hurts. It hurts. It hurts him to his heart to see a soul die without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I can feel it, and I know what I feel. I feel God's spirit in me because I'm real concerned about soul saving and convincing men, young boys and girls, that you don't have to go to hell for nobody. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. Because if you was the only one on this planet, Christ loved you so much that he still would have came and died on the cross for you. And whether you accepted him or not, he still would have came. And you know that's love. Oh, my God. That's some love beyond I can even comprehend. That's love that the church needs today, that preachers need today, to love people. Make no difference what condition they are in. You got to love that person into the kingdom. You got to, look what God done put up with your mess, with your so-called self-righteous self, thinking you cute, thinking you better than somebody else. He done put up with that stuff out of you and let you live another day. You still walking around with your head all up in the air like you somebody and haven't repented of your sins and turned to Christ because he's got his hands outstretched for you. You can go down by the seashore and count every grain of sand on every seashore on this earth. Count them one by one, and he still will not equal the love of God has for you, that he don't want his own creation. He don't want his creation to go to hell. You have the choice. And we're living in a day now where Christ is getting ready to come back. And when he comes back, he's only getting those that know him in the pardon of their sin. He's only getting those that have repented of their sins. Jesus Christ says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish into everlasting fire that burneth with brimstone. Why do I have to go to hell? You're going to hell because you rejected the only sacrifice for your sins, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the only sacrifice you have for redemption. So by a person rejecting and denying the sacrifice that Jesus did, you got to pay for your own sin. Anybody goes to hell, they're going to hell to pay for their own sin. Oh, my God. Why would you want to pay for your own sin? I don't want to pay for my sin. No, no, no. Woo! You talk about running? I run in the spiritual realm from hell as far as I can get. Because let me tell you, hell is no picnic. It's no jubilee celebration. It's no partying. There's no banquets. There's no football. There's no basketball. There's no recreation center. There's no recreation parks. There's no love in hell. There's no joy in hell. There's no peace in hell. There's nothing there but agony and pain and remorse and too awful to even mention. But it is a real place. And if you don't know where the location of hell is, it's located in the bowels of the earth. It's located in a place underneath the earth. And there's a gate. There's an opening over there in the Middle East, a big wide opening, and lava is busting up out of it. It's called the gate of hell. And when you look down in that fire, you will recognize it is hot. It is hot. It is hot. And I ain't seen nobody go on top of no mountain and jump down in a volcano. Nobody. If they do, they'll fail down. Because nobody wants to go to hell. Even the devil himself don't want to go to hell, but he know he's a one-way trip, and he's trying to trip up everybody to prevent them from coming to the cross. Anything but the cross. You can go Buddha, Shintoism, Taoism. You can go all the religions that you can name. Name them all. Voodoo. You can go to Nazism, Church of God in Christ. You can go to denominationism. Because everybody in denominations ain't saved. Some people going to church through the front door, to the side door, down in the basement, out the back door, right on straight to hell. Because they have never, never experienced the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They never experienced it. But they act like it. And acting is different from knowing that you've been born again. And people are trying to fake God, trying to fool God. You can't fool God. God knows what you're going to do before you was even born. He knows what you're going to do before you even know yourself. He knows your thoughts are far off. You can't go nowhere that he's already there. David said, if I take the wings of an eagle, fly to the upper parts of that, there God is right there. If I go to the bottoms of the bowels of hell and take me a certain mattress and a pillow and lay my bed in hell, God is there. If I take the wings of a dove and fly to the utmost parts, he guarded me. So you can't get away from him. You got to come to him. If you don't come to him, then you got to suffer on your own. You got to suffer for your what? Your backbiting, your hypocriting, your lying, your cheating, your whoremongering. You got to pay for all your sins for how long? Forever. Ever eternal damnation. And let me tell you, it ain't far off. The world is preparing for the greatest time that ever will hit this earth. The new world government is here. The one world church is here. The economical situation is here. The political situation is here. The White House is never going to straighten out what's coming. But what's coming is the tribulation period is coming. It's coming, church. It's coming, liar. It's coming. You can't duck your head and ignore it. If you ignore it, it's worse than saying, look, Lord, I give up. I give up. I give up. I'm coming to the cross. And I'm going to kneel before the crucified Christ and tell him that fountain of blood shed abroad in my heart. Receive the Holy Spirit in my life because the fountain has been opened. When Christ died, he opened the fountain of salvation. And there's only one salvation. There ain't no preacher. There ain't no prophet. There ain't no pope. There ain't nobody that can deliver you from hell but Jesus Christ. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about there ain't no preacher. There ain't no bishop. The old Louis Farrakhan cannot deliver you. Bishop Noel Jones can't deliver you. Bishop Eddie Long can't deliver you. Paula White can't deliver you. Reverend John Hagee can't deliver you. Joyce Myers can't deliver you. Juanita Braun can't deliver you. T.D. Jakes can't deliver you. Rick Warren can't deliver you. Billy Graham can't deliver you. Clef O'Dollar can't deliver you. Joel Osteen can't deliver you. Benny Hinn can't deliver you. And Pat Robinson can't deliver you. And Kenneth Copeland can't deliver you. Nobody can deliver you from the power of hell and sin and death but Jesus. Now, why aren't you lifting his name up? Why aren't you praising his name? Why aren't you thanking him? I don't care if you're a sinner or a saint. Why aren't you thanking him and praising him every day? He lets you live another day because it's not guaranteed I'll be here tomorrow. But I told one thing I know, that I know, if I would die tomorrow, I'll meet the Lord in the air on the early train. But if I wait for the rapture, we'll meet him together. And if you say, I'll see you there. I'll see you there if you say, I'll see you there. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't turned from your sins, and I ain't going to try to name them because sin is sin. It's missing the mark. It's disobedience. It's breaking the law. It's living your own way. It's unbelief. Sin is sin. And one sin that will stop you from going to heaven. Listen now. One sin that can stop you in your tracks. And that sin is unbelief. Unbelief falls under the category of rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your soul. You refuse to accept him as Lord and Savior of your soul. You refuse to turn from sin and look to the cross for the ultimate sacrifice of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you leave this world without Christ, oh, come on, listen to me. According to the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the book of books, the book that was written by God through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the book that will never change. You can't drown it. You can't burn it. You can't throw it away because heaven and earth will pass away. But the word of God will stand forever. If you go to hell, guess what? You're going to see the devil. You're going to see all these demons. They're going to be tormenting you. They're going to be laughing at you in a hot flame. You ain't going to be able to sit down because every place you sit down is going to be a hot seat. There ain't going to be no movie stars, huh? During the set, there ain't going to be no Oscars given away. There ain't going to be no partying. There ain't going to be no joyriding. There ain't going to be no lap dancing. There ain't going to be no striptease. Because everybody going to be naked. You ain't gonna have nothing on in hell. And the reason why, because if you leave this world without the blood of Christ, you're naked. You're naked. You're wretched. You're blind. In the book of Revelation, let me show you. Woo, Lord have mercy. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter, let's see what condition you're going to be when you go to hell. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go, please. I don't. I'm not jealous if you go. Amen. I don't envy you if you go. I tell you, I don't want you to go. I don't care how long you say you've been going to church. I want to know, have you been born again? This is what it said in the third chapter of what? Of Revelation. This is what you're going to have. 18 verse, 3 and 18 said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. This is not no physical nakedness. This is spiritual nakedness. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see it. And as many as I love, I would chasten. So in this year, Laodicean church, there's some people that say, and he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he's going to chastise those that's in there. Come on out, therefore, and repent. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, that's the door of your heart now. It ain't the church door. That's the door of your heart. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So when you receive Christ, Christ comes into your life. He's going to come in and sup with you. He's going to give you water. He'll give you living water. He'll give you that living bread. You can sup and have dinner with him. You can have the joy. Ooh, my God, you got peace. You got love for everybody. You just want to help people. You just want to encourage people. You got that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because Christ is supping with you. Amen. You ain't got no time for no marijuana and drugs and liquor and sex. You ain't got no time for that. Why? Because you're supping with Christ, divine relationship. You got something that will last forever. That sex experience ain't gonna last for about 3 or 4 minutes. You done. Alcohol, you ain't done overnight. You can't even know what day you rose on. Partying ain't gonna do you no good. Just drive you further right on to the pit. Listen, what here? The people that lose their soul are gonna be wretched. They're gonna be miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You ain't gonna have nothing in hell worth anything but your soul, and it's going to be lost if you don't receive Christ. Maybe tonight, if you don't see Christ in your lifetime, don't wait till you get old and gray. Don't wait till you get blind. Don't wait till you get in trouble. Don't wait till you feel like you need some help. The best time to receive Christ is when you knowing that you're doing good and you just want to repent. You want to repent because you know God hover you with his spirit and you know God has been good to you. God has been good to you. He's been better to you than you've been to yourself. And when you repent and come to Christ, that's the price that he paid for you. He bought you. He bought you. He bought you from the clutches of Satan. He took you out of Satan's hand. He told Satan, get out. Remove yourself. This is my child. And I'm gonna pour the Holy Spirit in him through the blood of Christ and cleanse him. And when you receive Christ, I guarantee you without any shadow of doubt, you'll sing a new song. A new song that the devil can't understand. Why? Because, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. I warn you through the word of God, And I warn you again and again, it's later in the evening. Time is winding up. Israel is getting ready for a war. A war is coming. Russia is getting ready for a war. Satan is roaring through the land, spreading all kinds of bacteria and coronavirus and syphilis and all kinds of venereal diseases. He's spreading lung cancer. He's spreading all kinds of stuff around the world. Why? Because men says there is no God. Men are something cursed God. Men are not even thinking about God. Men are saying they don't need God. But you want me to tell you who you are? You need God, all right. And I guarantee you, you might be an atheist. You might be somebody that thinks you can get to heaven off of your look. Let me tell you, you ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it. The Bible says you can't make it. None but the righteous, none but the righteous shall be able to stand. Woo! Good God Almighty. Only but the righteous, the sanctified ones, is the only ones gonna be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. A sinner will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you hear what I say? I say the sinner will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. That is where all the saints of God in the church age will stand before Bema seat. And if you haven't been born again, you will not be there. You will have to go, like I said before, you will have to go through the tribulation period. And the tribulation period is mainly, give me understanding now, because a lot of people got it all messed up. They got it messed up. They got it turned upside down. They don't even know why the tribulation is going to occur. They don't know why. They don't know where it comes from. They don't know why God is going to rapture the church and then 7 years of tribulation. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Listen, I'm going to go right straight to the Jew because that's what God works through. He works through the Jew. He worked through the Jew to bring Christ into the world. He worked through the Jew to write the Holy Scriptures. He works through the Jew to bring the church on the scene on the day of Pentecost. God used the Jew to get the Bible written. He used the Jew to bring Christ into the world. And he used the Jew to start the church on the day of Pentecost. And he used the Jew because he promised Abraham, I'm going to let you become the father of many nations. But I'm going to rise up a nation that will obey the nation of Israel. And I promise Israel that I will save the nation of Israel. I promise the prophets. I promise the church that I'm going to use Israel in the last days because I owe them. Listen to me now. I promise them that I will deal with them 490 years. I'm going to deal with the Jews to bring them back into the land of Israel. And when I bring them back, I'm going to deal with them for 490 years exactly, down to the T, cross the I, cross the T, put the semicolon in there, put the period in there. I'm going to do just what I said I'm going to do. And God, when the Babylonians had to let Israel go after 70 years of captivity because of their disobedience, I'm going to restore them in the period of 490 years. And I'm going to start after the 70 years are over. I'm going to start in 440 B.C. From 440 B.C., God worked with the Jews up until 32 A.D., when Jesus Christ rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass, because before I come the first time, before I come to Jerusalem, I'm going to make sure that the Jews get the walls rebuilt and they get reestablished with another temple. And that temple was built by Zerubbabel, and that temple was renewed by Herod the king. And when the temple was built, Jesus Christ came and rode through Jerusalem. And when he rode to Jerusalem, the next week they crucified him. And when they crucified him, listen to me now, they cut the 490 years down to 483 years. So God dealt with the Jews 440 BC to 32 AD, and that ended up with 483 years God dealt with Israel. And when Israel rejected Jesus Christ, God cut Israel off and engrafted the Gentiles. And that laid 7 years short of 490 years. The 490 years has never been fulfilled because they were cut off. And by them cutting off, the Jews started the church with 120. And then after they rejected him completely, God engrafted the Gentiles in. When he engrafted the Gentiles in, the Jews were cut off until the proper time for them to be grafted back in. Uh-oh. And the only way they could be grafted in is the church has to be removed from the planet. And when the church is removed from the planet, the only thing God will have to deal with in the tribulation period, he's going to deal with the Jewish people because he owed them 7 years. I hope you can understand that. 7 years, God is going to deal with the Jewish people. The church will not be here. The mission of the church is done. 1,000 years of church history. 2,000 years of church history have rolled on down to 2021. And now the Bible said in the last day there shall be a great or fallen away from the cross, not from the church, from the cross. No longer. A lot of people, a lot of preachers are not preaching the cross. They're not preaching it. They're not preaching to tell the folks that's the only way you can get to God is through the cross. Not the double cross, not the blue cross, not the red cross, but the cross that Jesus shed his blood on. That's the only way you can ever enter into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. Not the Buddha, not the Roman Catholic Church, not the Baptist Church, not the Church of God in Christ, not the Christian Scientists, not the voodoo and the hoodoo, not the KKK, not no other man-made organization you can get to heaven but by Jesus Christ. Not the Illuminatis, not the secret societies. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. The secret society. You ain't going to heaven by no Octus Medius or the New Age movement. You're not going to heaven by the United Nations or the Club of Rome or the Knight Templars or the Skull and Bone. As I said, the Illuminatis, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergs, the European Union, or the Jesuits. You're not going to heaven off of that crap. That's Illuminati. That's devil worshipers. That's secret societies. And there's no secret what God can do. And the biggest thing that God ever done other than creation, the biggest thing, the most wonderful thing, the most unique thing that God ever done in human history is that he got up off of his throne in heaven and flew down. Good God Almighty. Ooh, you talking about super? You talking about flying? God flew down. The Holy Ghost came down and overshadowed Mary. And when he overshadowed Mary, he was impregnated into Mary's womb and came out a child, a baby. And yet still he was the Son of God. He was all God and all man. So when he rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass, he cut 7 years out of the 490 years that he said he was going to promise to deal with the Jew. And the Jews were cut off at the cross. And now they're getting ready to come back into the branch and be grafted back onto the olive tree. And since the church won't be here at the rapture, when the rapture comes, the church will disappear in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Ooh, hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air in the twinkling of an eye. And guess what? We'll be with the Lord forever. Forever. If you miss the rapture, you will have to face the tribulation period. And since the church won't be here to preach the gospel because their mission is almost over, because the church has not fulfilled what they were supposed to do, they failed. The church failed in what? Preaching the unadulterated word of God. And it's been proven in the seven churches of Asia Minor. Only two churches out of seven churches, only two. You hear what I said? Only two churches were doing exactly what Christ gave them to do, and that was to suffer for the faith that they believe in and stand up for the gospel and willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ, and the Church of Philadelphia, which was the church of brotherly love. In other words, love the world. Make no difference what condition they're in. Let them know the condition that they're in. God can make a better condition for them, and that is to evangelize the world. And that's what is going to happen after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, the fifth chapter of Revelation gives you the throne of Bema seat and gives you what the throne looked like. At the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is raptured up in the first chapter, in the first verse, the fourth chapter, in the first verse, immediately John was caught up. And when he was caught up, that was the rapture and is the rapture of the church. The fifth chapter, the church is at the throne of God. The sixth chapter, the seals were opened. Four horses came out, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale-looking horse. That's when the tribulation will start after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, the gospel still has to be preached. And since the church is not here on the earth getting her rewards in heaven, John said in the seventh chapter, I looked and saw 144,000, and it's not Jehovah Witness, it's not the Baptist, it's not the Presbyterian, it's not the Catholic, it's not no denomination, it's not no occult, it's the 144,000 that God has chosen through his son Jesus Christ to preach the gospel for the first 3.5 years. The 144,000 is going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because the church preached the gospel of grace. And grace is getting ready to come down a little bit. The Jews, the 144,000, is going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. They're going to preach that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. You hear what I said? Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. That's going to be the message of the first 3.5 years from the Jews that God has chosen. God knows exactly where the 144,000 is at. And it's not somebody that gets on TV and tells them, I'm 144,000. No. God already got them chosen. And God's going to do the choosing. And they are going to proclaim that the Messiah that they rejected for 2,600 years is the Messiah that's going to come back and set up the glorious utopia kingdom, the theocracy government, because that's the only way God can bring peace on the earth, when he brings in theocracy government. In other words, God will rule with a rod of iron. Jesus Christ will come back and set up the millennial kingdom and rule with a rod of iron. But first, 144,000 is going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It will be televised. It will be on internet. It will be on Instagram. It will be on YouTube. And everybody today is getting all kinds of technology to get in communication with what's getting ready to happen, because when the 144,000 begin to preach the gospel of the kingdom, don't you know that the men of the cameramen, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, all the TV and networks will program and tell the world there's something going on that never like it before. We got 144,000 Jewish men that's preaching the gospel, that's telling the world that Jesus Christ is coming back and set up the millennial kingdom. And I've been trying to tell men, boys, and girls in my ministry that Jesus Christ is coming back for the last 57 years. But that's all right. I'm still going to preach it, and then I'm going to hand it over to the 144,000, because I got my ticket. And after a while, the trumpet is going to blow, and I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then the 144,000 is going to come and preach the gospel for the first 3.5 years. And somebody said, well, who is it going to be? And John said, well, I got a list here. I got a list of the tribes that's going to participate in the gospel of the kingdom preached by 144,000 Jews. And if you can multiply and if you can add, I'm going to show you in the word of God where John said of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000, out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000, out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000, out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000, out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000, out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. And somebody said, multiply 12,000 by 12, and you get 144,000 Jewish men that's going to be on this earth, and they're going to preach the gospel for 3.5 years. They're going to do it in January and February and March and April, and then they're going to march on to April, May, and June, and come on to June, July, August, and September, and October, and November. They're going to preach in the morning, in the noonday. They're going to preach at night. Yes, they are. They're going to let the world know that this Christ that we rejected for 2,600 years is the Christ that's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And then after they get through preaching for 3.5 years, John said, I got a problem. And the problem is, I know nobody was here after the rapture of the church that would proclaim the gospel. But after they get through preaching, he said, I saw a number. John said, I saw a number that no man can number, as many as the sands of the sea. Where and who and whence did they come? He said, don't you know, John? Don't you know where these boys come from? Don't you know where these evangelists come from? And you know Jesus said the world shall hear the gospel. The whole world is going to hear the gospel. And this is the period of time that the world is going to be attentive to the 144,000. It's going to be on every TV station. It's going to be every network. It's going to be beaming down from 600 satellites that circle the earth right now. 600 of them. That's going to be beaming up, and then they're going to beam down. And people are going to look at their iPod and look at their little computer, look at their little telephone, and they're going to say, oh, look at that. Oh, that's a Jew. Oh, they saying that Jesus Christ is coming back and setting up a millennial kingdom. Oh, by the way, the Antichrist is going to be here too. And he's going to see this, but he ain't going to be able to do nothing about it. He's going to try to get rid of them, and God is going to remove the 144,000 in the middle of the tribulation period. After they, oh, good God Almighty, ain't going to be no church service. Ooh, hallelujah. Home. Ain't nobody going to be able to go to church and hear preachers. They're going to hear straight from the Jewish nation. And they've been trying to dog the Jews for the last 2,600 years. Evangelistic churches and all kind of movements has been telling the Jews is through, the Jews is done, the Jews done done this, the Jews done done that. Well, the Jews only did what God had allowed them to do. And what God allowed them to do, they didn't obey. And so God said, if I can't use you down through 2,600 years, I'm going to use you the last 7 years in a way that is going to have a universal revival. Y'all don't hear me. A universal revival where the whole world will hear and see the hand of God moving up on the Jewish nation, because he said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord hosts. Because God don't work through nothing but the spirit of God. Don't work through nothing else. He don't work through Lucifer. He don't work through dogmatic doctrines. He don't work. He works through his spirit. And there's power in the spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the world is going to be stunned to see a great host of Gentiles and Jews receive Christ in the first part of the tribulation period. And when they hear this, many that was left here after the rapture of the church are going to receive salvation through the preaching of the 144,000. And you know something? Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm embarrassed of the church. I'm embarrassed of myself. Lord Jesus Christ, you are a wonderful God. You love the church so much. And although they didn't fulfill what they supposed to do, because the church, the whole church, the body of Christ, is supposed to serve the Jewish people. Y'all don't hear me. We as church, the body of Christ, is supposed to pray for the Jew. We're supposed to support the Jew. We're supposed to support what they want and what they want. They want their land. They want a temple. They want everything that God's permit them to have to prove to them that the old sacrificial offering is done away with. God's going to prove to the Jew Judaism is done. It's no more Judaism. It's Christianity. Christ has made a complete eternal way for man to be redeemed. The only way man can be redeemed is through the crucifixion, burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And don't you forget it, devil. Don't you forget it, Lucifer. Don't you forget it, Beelzebub. Don't you forget it, the red dragon. Don't you forget it, the beast. And don't you forget it, the Antichrist, because he is going to be the one that deceives those that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or in other words, believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. The Antichrist don't believe it. The Antichrist is, those are those that follow the Antichrist, such as, let me see, who's the Antichrist? Yeah, here we go. Atheists, Antichrist. New Age movement, Antichrist. The Buddhists, Antichrist. Judaism, Antichrist. And don't get me wrong. Judaism was the only religion that God dealt with in the Old Testament. And he used animals. Well, that's done away with. Animals is done away with. Now Christ is a slain lamb before the foundation of the world. Just because a person is a Judaizer or Judaism, he still has to be born again. If he don't come out of Judaism, he will go to hell. You got Shintoism, Antichrist. Mormonism, Antichrist. Unity, Antichrist. Satanism, Antichrist. Taoism, Antichrist. Lutheran. There's some probably in Lutheran that are saved and some that are not saved, and those that are not saved belong to an Antichrist or the devil. Then we got Christian Science, Antichrist. Jehovah Witness, Antichrist. We got Islam, Antichrist. Don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't believe that he died and rose again. We got fashionism, Antichrist. We got Catholic, Antichrist. The Pope is an Antichrist. He's the false prophet that's in the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter. The non-denom, there are some people in there that's not saved. And what is Antichrist? A person that's not saved is Antichrist because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. They have not accepted the deity and the Godhead, that Jesus Christ is a very God. The Church of God, we got some in there that's Antichrist. We got some in Baptists that are saved and some is not saved is Antichrist. We got the KKK, Antichrist. Nazism, Antichrist. Armstrongism, Antichrist. Voodoo, Antichrist. Witchcraft, lesbianism, homosexuals, and Sodomites, apostolic faith, some are in there, Antichrist. Church of God in Christ, some are in there, Antichrist. Confucianism, some are in there, that stone, Antichrist. Humanism, Antichrist. Antichrist is a word in the Bible in little Epistle John. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh is of God. Whoever confesses not is Antichrist. They're anti-God. They're against the deity of Jesus Christ. God. He is God. He always was God. He became flesh. And God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. So there's many antichrists in the world today. And very few people today, very few people in America and in other countries is following Jesus Christ, just like the Bible says. Whoever denies the Son denies the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son acknowledges the Father. There's a difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And most people today are making an error. They got the wrong spirit and call themselves reading from the right Bible, but they got it all twisted up. You cannot separate the Godhead. There's no half and half. God was here before anything else was, and when everything else is all messed up and all screwed up, God will still be here, and he'll be the same God. So the first 3.5 years, the gospel will be proclaimed by the Jews, and the church at the time of the preaching of the gospel from the Jewish people, the church will be in heaven. I'll be in heaven then, and I'll see my works when I leave this planet. When I go to heaven and meet Jesus and get my rewards, I'll see what benefit did I do to get the gospel out. Did I preach the truth or did I preach a lie? Did I preach the unadulterated word of God just like it is in the Bible or did I play hanky-panky? Huh? Did I tell somebody some lie that's not in the Bible and try to make them feel good? Did I do that or did I preach the unadulterated word of God? I'm going to be judged. Not for my salvation, but for my works. And I striving to get a crown. I don't know how many the Lord got for me, but I'm striving to get one of the five crowns that you can receive when the born-again believer meets Jesus at the judgment seat. And all the works that you did while you was a Christian here on earth, you're going to be able to look at and see what you profited. And if your works burn up, you're going to suffer loss. But if your works don't burn up, which is gold, silver, and brass, you shall receive a reward. So I'm going to tell you, anybody out there that don't believe, they do believe that the church is going through the rapture, that's a lie. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. After the 144,000 get through with their preaching and bringing the gospel to the world, in the middle of the tribulation, they will be redeemed from the earth. And that will happen in the 12th chapter of Revelation. They will be redeemed from the earth, and they will meet the Lord in Zion. Wherever the Lord is, they will follow the 144,000. They will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. They will be sealed here on earth, and then after the 3.5 years, they will be caught up in the middle of that tribulation, because their work on earth is done for the 144,000. The 144,000 was the first witnesses after the church left, because we can't witness no more. When we get to heaven, can't witness no more. Huh? Come on now. Can't witness no more. And people today need to witness. People who are saved, they need to witness. They need to be a witness for them. That's what the Bible said, be a witness for me to the utmost parts of the earth. Not just the preacher, the deacon. You're supposed to be a witness because you have witnessed the power of God in changing your life. And if you have a changed life, I want to tell, the Lord changed my life. I want to tell somebody about the goodness and the love and the mercy and things that God has for you, those that love him and love his appearance. All right, here we go. In the middle of the tribulation, we will be 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days, or times and times and dividing time, which equals 1,260 days, 3.5 years. In the middle of the tribulation, there's going to be a confrontation or a battle, because the battle of Armageddon won't come to the end of time. There's going to be a battle between Russia and Israel in the first part of the tribulation period. That's found in the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, where Putin is going to make an attack upon Israel and cause a war. And this war is going to last a short time. About 24 hours, it's going to be done. Because there ain't going to be no nation on this planet that will be able to stop Russia. No nation. You hear me what I'm saying? Because Putin now is looking at America. He's looking at nations that he's kind of worried about. And one, he's looking at America, because America, oh, my God, if America wasn't so sinful, man, we could stand up against them. But America got so sinful, God can't come down here and give us some kind of protection, because America has become so sinful. We have become backbiting, hypocrite. We done lied, cheated. We done dog God so bad. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you, because I know y'all just love the Lord so much. I'm talking about me. I want to be what God wants me to be, and that's love people. So what I'm saying, America won't be able to defend itself. And Russia is not worried about it. China is not worried about America, because America has backslidden, killing 62 million babies a year. You hear what I said? And what are we doing? No, we ain't doing. The government ain't doing nothing, because the government is propagating it. What the church is doing? What the church stand up now? We ain't going to let these barbarians kill our baby. Whether it's a black baby, white baby, Chinese baby, young girl, if she's pregnant, close all the abortion clinics. Close them. No, we too chicken. Preachers won't stand up. The church can't stand up against whoremonger because they dirty themselves. Preachers can't preach against whoremonger and adultery because they dirty themselves. They can't tell the world, I'm living holy, and they ain't living holy themselves. You got to come before God in holiness. You got to stand for something. God can't support sin. He can't propagate sin and say, hey, good job. You're sinning against me. God ain't like that. God said, I hate it. And because I hate it and you love it, you have to pay for what you've done against me. Because God don't have to do nothing but fold his hand. And let me tell you, he don't have to say nothing. And if you just live in sin and dog, sin will kill you. God don't have to even say nothing. Sin will kill you. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You live in the streets and burn places up and drive by shooters and peddling drugs all over the place and child pornography is rampaging. And, hey, look, I can't help you. You're going to have to take the consequences, and that's what America is taking. Where's the righteous man at? Where's the man that will stand up against sin? Where's the man that would get on TV and say, look, America, president, preachers, come on, y'all, preach the gospel and quit preaching this hypocrisy, get rich quick. Jesus Christ said you're going to have the poor with you always. And Jesus Christ wasn't rich. He was rich in mercy and goodness and loving and suffering. He was rich in that. Oh, man, he got plenty of that. But he was born in a peasant. He's born in a barn. He never drove a chariot. He never dressed flashy. He never boasted on himself. He humbled himself before God and took the birth, death, and the resurrection on the cross for us and became a lowly servant and got up on the third day morning that we could live forever if we accept him. And in the middle of that tribulation, as I said, John the Revelator looked at the 12th chapter and he said, look, I saw something I never seen. I seen it, but I knew it was going. He said, I saw there was a war in heaven. And this war is a galactical, divine, spiritual war between Lucifer and between Michael. And he said, the dragon was cast out of heaven. Where is the dragon? Where is the red serpent? Where is the old boogaloo? Where is the old crooked hunchback demonic devil that has been rampaging for the 6,000 years, killing and murdering and doing everything dogmatically and cussing God out and blaspheming God? Where is he? He's in first and second heaven right now. He's the prince power of the air. He rules the air. And guess what? He's coming down. He already been cast out of third heaven, and that's where God's throne is. But now he's in first and second heaven, and he's in what? Uh-oh, look what I got for you. The UFOs and the flying objects and the demonic spirits that's working in the air today are demons, devils. And they're coming down here. They're coming down here on the earth. They're already the prince power of the air. Just look what they're doing, and they ain't even set foot on the ground yet. Satan is getting ready to be cast out of heaven. That's why there's a feeling in the air of the animosity and the degradation that these spirits is bringing up on the saints of God. And the saints of God have to be an anchor in Christ Jesus. You've got to be willing enough to give your life up pretty soon because America is going to fall under the hand of a dictatorship-type government, and we already got it because they're trying to eliminate the Bibles. They're trying to eliminate the Christians. The government saying don't go to church because you might catch corona. Well, you can catch something else other than corona. You can catch a cold. You can catch a disease that you ain't never heard of. We don't need to fellowship and get too close to each other. Well, the world is doing what they're doing.
And they don't care. They're going. They're going to a football game. They're going to basketball. And here we are, call ourselves what? Children of God. And we're afraid of a little bacteria. I curse it in the name of Jesus. I curse it in the name of Jesus. And I say, if a preacher is a preacher, he should tell his congregation, look, we're coming back to church and we're going to worship God and we're going to prepare our souls to meet him in the air pretty soon. And we're going to let the world know that this Christ that we've been preaching about for the last 2,000 years, he's coming back to the earth and he's going to straighten out everything. And you look in the book of Revelation and the devil was cast to the earth. And when he was cast to the earth, he's going to raise hell more than what's in hell. He's going to tear up everything. And how he's going to do that? Well, if you would look in the 12th chapter, you see him cast out of heaven. And then you see the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. He comes on the scene and they tell me God is going to let Satan take control of this earth for 7 years. And Satan said, well, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to bring my circus on. I'm going to bring my clowns, my monkeys, my giraffes, my birds, and everything. And I'm going to do something that the world has never witnessed. I'm going to do something that I'm going to imitate the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by doing this, I am going to deceive the whole world in believing that I am Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Because when the Antichrist comes in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to be assassinated with a bullet to the head. Revelation 13, he says, and the deadly wound was healed. And when the deadly wound was healed, they tell me he got up. He got up. Satan resurrected, incarnated himself in the Antichrist and got up and said he is God Almighty. And the world is going to say, oh, my God, this is God Almighty. He got up from the grave just like Jesus done. And Jesus did it on his own. Christ did it on his own because, number one, he is God. He is the life. He is the resurrection. Satan said, I got an Antichrist. Somebody going to, I'm going to fix it that he gets shot. And his body lay in the morgue for 3 days. And after the third day, I'm going to raise him up by being cast out of the heavenlies. And I'm going to incarnate myself inside of this man. And when he gets up out of the grave, they're going to say, who is like the beast? And who's able to make war with him? And the Bible say, I didn't say it. The whole world will wonder after the beast. The whole world, meaning all. Majority of the world will be deceived from this fake, low-down, cutthroat resurrection that the devil going to do it because he's been doing it all along. And this is the moment that God's going to give Satan to come to this earth flat-footed. Flat-footed. Bow-legged, two-bit liar, gonna have deceived the elite ones, the high office, the presidency, gonna deceive the preachers, gonna deceive those secret society and believe that this is what they've been waiting for their fake Christ, because they have no morals of living. They live any kind of way. Rich people live dirty, low down, cutthroats. Cutthroats. Let me tell you something, how nasty sin is. Sin is like a maggot inside of a dirty garbage can with dead fish in it. It stinks. It stinks before God's nostrils. This fake church is mentioned in Revelation 17 chapter, where this woman is riding up on a scarlet beast with a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of earth. It stinks. She looks good. The fake, false church looks good. But there's some dirty, low-down people in that church. They're unregenerated. They don't know Jesus Christ at all. Don't want to know Jesus Christ at all. Blaspheme his name. Curse his name. Reject his name. But when the time comes, this woman is going to be burned. She's going to be done away just like Jezebel was done away with. And Jezebel in the Old Testament is the Jezebel in the New Testament to represent the fake, false, only church. Phony, baloney. Ain't worth nothing. Can't help nobody. Can't encourage nobody. And to tell me the Pope is getting ready October the 1st to announce that all churches, all denominations, all occults, all whoremongers, all unbelievers, all those that believe that this man is Jesus Christ come under one tent and become the world church or the new world order. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I advise you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to know him tonight. You need to know him right this minute because it ain't too long. And how close is the second coming of Jesus Christ or the rapture? It's closer than the skin on your body. It's closer than the blood running run through your veins. It's so close, man, I tremble. I tremble at the conditions of the world and people's soul walking around like ain't nothing going to happen. But my friends, I want to let you know it's going to happen. And I'll go to the guillotine. I'll go to the guillotine and say I'll die for Christ. I know the Bible's right. And I know I'm coming from the Bible. Ain't no way you say I'm not coming from the Bible. Because let me tell you, God loves you so much. And he died for you. Now it's your turn to love him back. He don't want to eliminate you. You eliminate yourself. You need to know him as your personal Savior right now. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Get ready to meet him. And by the way, as I get ready to close, when the Antichrist is raised from the dead, that's where the mark of the beast will be mandatory to receive a mark on the back of your hand or on your forehead before you could ever buy, sell, or do anything. You've got to receive this mark. People have been fussing about that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And how are he going to do that? Well, the brainchild of the devil is the computer. And they got computers all over the world that can monitor you from Spain, Italy, any part of the world. They can tell you exactly where you live at, your blood type. That's the devil's brainchild because the devil can't be everywhere. Woo! Glory be to God. He's got to use technology to get in touch with you. But God don't need no technology. God knows everything all at once. And that's who I'm depending on. And that's what you should depend on. What he done for you, that you can escape the guillotine, that you can escape the things that's getting ready to happen in America and around the world. Oh, by the way, the guillotine's got in here by Obama. Obama brought the guillotines in here, and the government brought all the guillotines. And all the guillotines, 60,000 of them, they're going to bring more in. America's getting ready to go under socialism, and socialism equals to dictatorship-type government, where they're going to take your rights away. If you catch praying or praising the Lord during the tribulation period in the second part, you're dead meat. So if you left here, you better get prepared to die. And I'll die for Christ 1,000 times. Shoot me. Take my head. I'm ready to go. But thank God, I'm going. I got a 747 waiting on the airway. And I'm going to take off. At the sound of the trump, you need Jesus Christ. Let him come into your life. I'm sorry I took your time. I didn't have altar call. But you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He said, thou shalt be saved. You need him tonight. I'll see you Sunday evening, 5 o'clock. Come on back. I got some more for you. It ain't over yet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus Christ is my life. I want to try to close with this song. If I can get it on time, amen. God is good anyhow. I might not can get it for you.